Good morning.
Morning.
It's great to see you this morning. I appreciate so much your presence. As was mentioned, we have those who are visiting with us. We are glad that you are here, and we hope that you will be back every opportunity that you have. What comes to your mind when you hear the phrase suit up? Maybe you're a comic book person, and when you hear the phrase suit up, you think of a comic book hero putting on their suit and preparing to do battle with an arch enemy. Maybe you hear the phrase suit up and you think of a police officer getting ready to go out into the community to protect and serve. Maybe you hear that phrase suit up and you think of just that, someone actually suiting up with a suit and tie. And maybe that individual is freshly out of college getting ready to go on that first big interview. Or maybe it's the CEO of a boardroom and they're preparing to step into a very important meeting. Maybe you hear the phrase suit up and you think about an athlete who's putting on their uniform, getting ready for the big game. You see, in all those scenarios and maybe others that you have thought of, when we hear that phrase suit up, it's all about preparing to do something big. It's all about preparing for some type of battle that is looming. You know, the world is at war. I looked at a map not too long ago with colored areas where conflicts were going on. Not just the war in Ukraine, but just in all these other areas where there are these different patches of war that are taking place, and areas where there's conflict between the populace of a nation and those that are in the ruling power. And there's a lot of color on that map, y'all. It seems like almost daily we read about something else that has taken place. And these wars are costly. And they take money, they take time, they take resources, and most of all, unfortunately, they take lives. And as devastating as these conflicts are, they are not the most dangerous conflict that exists, though. The war that I'm talking about is far more serious, because it has far more devastating consequences. Because it's a battle for the hearts, the minds, the souls of the little over 7 billion individuals that inhabit this earth. In our text in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul gives us some essential information that's needed if we're going to win this war. Information that is needed if we're going to suit up and prepare for the battle that rages. We talked last week as we talked about what the church is. One of the pictures that we looked at was this picture of an army. The Lord's church is an army composed of soldiers. We sang songs, Onward Christian Soldiers. We sang this morning, Soldiers of Christ Arise, and the battle belongs to the Lord. Christian life, unfortunately, many times is a battle. It is a conflict. It is a struggle. But brethren, it is a war that we must win. Because eternity hangs in the balance. As we look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 through 19, we see four points that we want to consider. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God." Bobo got loose. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Four things that we want to notice from this text, three this morning, one this evening. Number one, we want to begin by noticing the admonitions. The admonitions. What does it mean to admonish? Merriam-Webster says to tell or urge someone to do something, to give friendly, earnest advice or encouragement. Paul, in our passage here, gives us a threefold admonition. There are some things that he encourages us to do, some things that we need to do if we're going to be able to suit up, if we're going to be able to put on the armor of God. There are things that we must do first. First, he admonishes us to be strong. Going back to verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong." Strength is going to be needed to fight the battles for those things that are true and right. Strength is going to be needed if we're going to fight on the side of God. Spiritual warfare cannot be waged or won by those who are weak. We have to be strong. But notice something about that strength. Notice where it is found. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." You see, if you and I rely on our own strength, that battle's lost, friend. There's no battle you and I are going to win if we're relying on ourselves solely. But that's not what Paul calls on us to do in Ephesians 6. He doesn't say you stand in your own strength. He says you stand in the Lord and the power of His might. Just like Paul would say to the church at Philippi in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul didn't say, "I can do all things in and of myself." That's not what he said. He said, "But I can do all things through Christ." When we rely on our own power, we lose. But when we rely on God's power, we can't lose. Paul admonishes us, first off, to be strong. And then after telling us to be strong and showing us where that power is found, he says then to stand. He says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all to stand, verse 13. Verse 14, "Stand therefore." As Christians, brethren, we have to stand up. We need to stand tall. We need to stand firm. And once again, it's not in and of ourselves that we do this. We have God with us. Paul admonishes the church at Ephesus as persecution was going on around them to not allow those things to knock them down, to not allow those things to tumble over them, for them to stand firm in the midst of that. Brethren, if they can do it, we can too. Paul admonishes them to be strong, to stand. And then third, he admonishes them to pray. It's interesting to me, after you put all the Christian armor on, you come to verse 18, and what we find is we're not actually suited up yet. Because in verse 18, he says, "Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me." Even after we've got all the armor on, brethren, we're not suited up until we start praying. Prayer is what moves the hand of God. If we're not praying, then we're not using all the resources at our power, friend. The story is told of a young boy. He had been outside, and what he didn't know, his father had placed it there, but there was a rock in the sandbox. And his father watched out the window as this little boy tried to do everything he could to get this rock out of the sandbox. But the truth of the matter is, the rock was bigger than the boy. And he's pushing on it. He's getting his little shovel and trying to leverage up under it. I mean, he's doing everything he knows to do, and it's just not budging. And he finally comes into his dad, and he says, "Dad, there's a rock in my sandbox, and I can't get it out." And his dad says, "Well, son, are you using all your power?" He says, "Dad, I've been at it for 20 minutes. I'm doing everything I know to do. I can't get this rock out." He says, "Son, are you using all your power?" He said, "Yes, Dad, I've done everything I know to do." He said, "Son, are you using all your power?" And he said, "Dad, why are you asking me that?" He said, "Son, you haven't asked me to help you." The little boy wasn't using all of his power, did he? He had a father who was there willing to help. Brethren, we have a father who's there willing to help. We've got to reach out to him. We have to pray. You know, as we look at this text, we see when we are to pray, and that's always. We see some things about how we are to pray. We see for whom we are to pray. Paul admonishes us here to be strong, to stand, and to pray. And friends, of all the things that you can take away from the sermon this morning, those are three things that we need to be doing as well. Number two, we see in our text the adversary. You know, it's important in any battle to identify the enemy, right? Because if we don't know who we're fighting, can we win? You know, in the U.S., we have an intelligence community of all kinds of different organizations. The whole point of that intelligence community is to gather the intel so that we know who the threats are and where the threats are. Two things that we want to notice about our adversary. First off, Paul lets us know who our adversary is not. Notice what he says. He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Our battle is not a physical one. Because the kingdom of our Lord, of which we're citizens, is not a physical one. In John chapter 18 and verse 36, Jesus stands before Pilate. You know, he's being marched through this mockery of a trial. And he's standing there and he's asked a question. And Jesus answers, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from here." Jesus says, if my kingdom was a physical one, then my servants would fight. And you know, the apostles had in their head, we see this in Acts chapter 1, they still had in their heads that the kingdom was a physical one, right? Because they asked Jesus the question right before his ascension, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And we know that was their mindset, because what happens in the garden with Peter? Peter drew his sword, right? It's time to defend the kingdom. What did Jesus say? "Put your sword away." Why did Jesus say that? John 18:36 says his kingdom was not a physical one. That's not the battle that we are waging. But who is our adversary? Paul goes on to tell us. "But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." In verse 11, he says, "Stand against the wiles of the devil." In verse 16, he talks about the fiery darts of the wicked one. Friends, Satan is the enemy. The word Satan literally means accuser. Satan seeks to turn everyone that he can against God. You've heard the phrase, I know that you have, "Misery loves company." Y'all, Satan has lost. Satan is destined for hell. There's nothing that's going to change that for him. But here's where the statement "misery loves company" comes in. Satan's determined to take as many of you and me with him as he can. He says, "I'm doomed. I want to carry as many as I can with me." That's what he wants. That's what he's about. But God made a way that we can escape that. And not just Satan as the adversary, but those who would be used by him. And unfortunately, that's a lot. But here's the thing. As we look at that and think about the adversary and those that would be used by him, you and I might think, man, we are way outnumbered. Well, that brings us to our third point. And that is the ally. Notice the phrases in the text. In the Lord, of God, of the Spirit, in the Spirit. Our ally in this battle against Satan is the entirety of the Godhead. Y'all, we don't go in this alone. And that's important. Truth of the matter is, God takes the front line, we're just bringing up the rear. He'll fight the battles if we'll allow Him to do so. In Romans chapter 8, in verses 31 through 39, Paul writes to the church at Rome and says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He says God's for us, then no one can stand against us. And speaking of God, He says, this is the God that offered up His own Son for you, who allowed Him to be brutally beat and sacrificed on a cross for you. He says, who shall bring a charge against God, O elect? It's God who justifies. Who is He who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's the question He poses. What's going to separate us from Him? And then He gives a lot of different possibilities. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Have you ever paid attention to that statement there? He's just listed all of these terrible things that we have to deal with, right? All of these terrible things that we have to go through. And then He says, you're not just conquerors over these things. No, that's not what He says. You are more than conquerors. How? Through Him who loved us. Through Christ, who gave His life for us. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, we have an ally like no other. We just need to rely on Him. You know, one of the words that always gets my attention in this passage is that word stand. We see it several times in the text. And very forcefully towards the, right before the Christian armor is given out, He says, therefore, considering everything that we talked about, stand. As Christians, we're to stand. We're to stand in Christ. We're to stand against evil. We are to stand up for God. We are to stand for the truth of the Bible. We are to stand together with our brethren because one day we will stand before Jesus Christ in judgment. Brethren, we stand not desert. We stand not retreat. We stand not surrender. So the question comes this morning, are you standing with Him? Friend, if you're not, it's time to enlist. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, are you willing to turn from sin? Are you willing to confess that belief, to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Maybe you have questions about that. Let us know. Let's open God's Word. Let's study it together. Maybe you've done those things, but you say, you know what? I haven't been relying on God. I haven't been standing in His might. I've allowed Satan to beat me down, to knock me down, to keep me out. Friend, come back this morning. God waits for you. Christ died for you. Heaven hangs in the balance. Let's suit up. Let's serve God faithfully. Let's spend eternity with Him. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.